From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up on this Valentine's Day edition, the Biden administration's policies and the economy are certainly not a match made in heaven. Last week, the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics released the Consumer Price Index, which surged even more than expected to 7.5%, the highest in 40 years. Despite the heartbreaking economic news, driven in large part by government spending, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says we need more government spending by way of President Biden's so-called Build Back Better plan.
With all the respect in the world for my friend Joe Manchin, it's not right to say that what we are doing is contributing to inflation because it is exactly the opposite.
That was Speaker Pelosi yesterday on ABC This Week criticizing West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin for opposing more government spending. Is there a connection between the trillions in government spending and the record inflation we're seeing? We'll talk with the dean of the School of Business at Liberty University, Dr. Dave Bratt, a former member of Congress from Virginia. And the Chamber of Commerce, which was so enamored with the Black Lives Matter protest in Washington and elsewhere, is preserving the BLM graffiti, treating it as artifacts for future exhibits on equality, diversity, and inclusion. But the chamber doesn't feel the same way about the protest in Canada over that country's freedom-stifling COVID policies. The chamber called on Canadian government officials to crack down on those who oppose government mandates and overreach. And this afternoon, that's exactly what Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau announced. The duplicity of big government or big business in America is stunning. We'll talk about it with Ken Blackwell, former mayor of Cincinnati and former Ohio Secretary of State. Now, China, basking in the spotlight of the Winter Olympics, the Chinese Communist Party is doing their best to take advantage of the opportunity to whitewash their image. And they're using surrogates that benefit from China's largesse to help.
We had our ambassador, Abinul Haq. He went to Xinjiang and he, according to his observations, the picture is not what was being portrayed on the Western media.
That was Pakistan's Prime Minister Imran Khan on CNN. We'll be joined by the former ambassador at large for international religious freedom, Sam Brownback, in our special Olympics 2022 Human Rights on Ice later in the program. And finally, Finnish parliamentarian Pavi Räsänen was back in court today, the longstanding parliamentarian and former minister of the interior, together with Bishop Johan Poljola are on trial for allegedly engaging in hate speech. Why? They publicly voiced their faith-based beliefs on marriage and sexual ethics, including a tweet of a Bible verse. Pastor Andrew Brunson, FRC Special Advisor for Religious Freedom, traveled to Finland to pray with Pavi and present her with thousands of prayer pledges signed by many of you. Andrew Brunson joins us later from Finland. We'll also be joined by Texas Congressman Chip Roy, who has been speaking out about these dangerous developments in Finland, warning that this type of threat to religious freedom and the freedom of speech could soon be here in America if we don't act to stop it now. The website, TonyPerkins.com. And by the way, you might be a part of FRC's two-year Bible reading plan, our Stand on the Word. It's a journey through the Bible. Today, our reading is in Exodus chapter 17 and 18. Our verse for the day comes from chapter 18, verse 21. Moreover, look for able men from all the people, men who fear God, who are trustworthy and hate a bribe, and place such men over the people as chiefs of thousands, of hundreds, of 50s and of 10s. That advice coming from Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, he gave him wise counsel on both a decentralized system of justice, the principles of which guided the formation of our own Federalist government, and he also tells him the type of people who should be in government. As important as the system of government is, it should be abundantly clear to us today that in America, the character of our leaders is more important than the construct of the polity. No system will ensure justice when those who are in government reject God and his truth. To find out more about our Bible reading plan, go to frc.org/Bible. And by the way, you can join me each morning, Monday through Friday at 8:44 a.m., That's 8:44 a.m. Eastern Time for a daily devotional based upon the two-year Bible reading plan, or you can find it at TonyPerkins.com as well. All right, according to the latest Labor Department report released late last week, the Consumer Price Index rose 7.5% in January from a year ago, making the fastest increase in inflation since February of 1982, when inflation hit 7.6%. And we've seen the effects at the store, the gas pump, and in every facet of our lives. In certain cities, rent is up 30% or more from a year ago. Prices for used cars are up 40% year to year. And American families, the grocery bills, well, they've increased by $856 year to year. As inflation continues to defy expectations, radical Democrats maintain the solution is more spending in the form of President Joe Biden's Build Back Better plan. And while some, like Senator Joe Manchin, recognize that trillions in spending will only add fuel to the fire, there are those like Nancy Pelosi that we mentioned earlier who maintains otherwise. So which is it? Well, with us now to talk about this is Dr. Dave Brat, Dean at Liberty University School of Business and a former member of Congress. Dr. Brat, welcome back to the program.
Hey, Tony, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Okay, so let me ask you a question. Who's right? Nancy Pelosi saying we need more spending to address the inflation, or Joe Manchin who's saying more spending from the government will only fuel inflation?
Well, Tony Perkins is right. They both made little technical errors. You said, and worded it properly, is spending related to inflation? And it is. And I will solve the entire mystery of inflation for you here in 5 seconds. So all the Christians out there, get out your pencils. Here is your answer, right? Write that down. MV equals PQ. This is roughly speaking macroeconomics, Milton Friedman. V is velocity. You can ignore it. Just pretend it's constant. Q is national output, how much stuff you make in a year, how many refrigerators. Let's just assume that's constant. If those are constant, the only two things on that equation are M equals P, basically. So if the amount of money you print goes up, M, P has to go up by exactly the same amount. And so it's money that is always and everywhere the cause of inflation, the amount of money you print. Now, of course, that is highly related to the amount of government spending the Democrats want to do. So that's why everybody conflates that in their head. But inflation is not the result of supply chain problems. It's not the fault of the minimum wage. Both sides got to tell the truth on this thing. Those things go along with it, but it's like a balloon, right? If you don't print more money, you can raise the prices over here, but that this formula, P, has to stay constant, right? You didn't print any more money. So if you raise prices over here, some other prices have to go down over there. And that's just the way it works. It's an identity in mathematics. There's no uncertainty around it. Money causes inflation. And so a lot of people are tempted to make up stories that are related to it. Like you said, is spending related? Of course, because why did we print all that money? So the Democrats can go on a spending spree. So that's usually the case, but it's the amount of money that causes the inflation.
Democrats are very concerned about this inflation and the cost of living for voters all across America. In fact, Joe Biden earlier, about a few months ago, said this was transitory. This was just passing. It was not going to be here very long.
Yeah.
Last week, he was asked about that. Lester Holt from NBC Nightly News asked him that question. Play clip number one, please.
I think it was back in July you said inflation was going to be temporary. I think a lot of Americans are wondering what your definition of temporary is.
Well, you're being a wise guy with me a little bit. And I understand that's your job.
So to ask about the president's statement that this was transitory as being a wise guy?
Yeah. No, that's right. And so we printed, I don't know what, I think 30% more money. So you're going to have inflation. And just to make it clear to everybody, too, you know, prices matter in free market system. Prices are the ultimate signal. It's the only signal. How does everything get on the shelf in Walmart? Prices send those signals. Once you scan it at Walmart, the inventory system scans the price and says, somebody just purchased thing, buy more. So every single little price carries a lot more information than you think. Now aggregate that up to every single price in the economy, big P. That's the inflation rate. So now I tell you, hey, we're just going to jack the price, every single price in the economy up by 7% on average, right? Some are more and some are less. Can you imagine? You don't have a supercomputer big enough to handle that calculation and the complexity of what just went wrong. So the entire price level for the macro economy is changing by 7%. Some of it's up over here, so businesses don't know what to do. Now it just went up to 7.5%. So not only is it not transitory, it's 7%, which is a 40-year high, and it's going up. And so you don't know if you just printed 40% more money, how much more is it going to go up? You don't know. So imagine what that does to business decision-making going out a few quarters or a few years. Are you going to plow a ton of new capital investment in your plant or into real estate, et cetera, when you have that big of an unknown going out in front of you? And then because we've already destroyed the free market system so much, we just have anomalies on our hands. How in the world can you have 7% inflation rate and a 2% treasury bond, 10-year treasury bond? It's never happened before, right? And the only reason is people might be buying bonds right now is a risk hedge, right? Because they see, hey, we're in trouble. And so if you buy bonds, you know, the price of bonds goes up and yield goes down. And so the interest rate stays down. But this has never happened. We're abandoning the free market price system, which has served us so well. And you don't hear anybody talking about that. That's the big deal that matters. We're destroying the infinite complexity and the gift of the invisible hand, which has aligned productivity, growth, and human welfare, the likes of we've never seen on the planet, and we're about ready to destroy it.
So, Dr. Bratt, what's the way out? I mean, clearly the way out is not another $2 trillion in government spending, which will have to be deficit spending, even though they're arguing that this is this Build Back Better is going to be a deficit reduction. I've never seen that, but what's the way out?
Yeah, well, the way out, Ronald Reagan, back when you had, you mentioned the Moses and the counsel of his father and wise men. Not many of them left, unfortunately, right? One of the few strong men that was just a leader was Ronald Reagan, and he had Paul Volcker, and they had 17% inflation and huge interest rates. And the way you fix it is you slam your brake on. You quit printing money. In the face of everything I just told you, the Fed hasn't raised rates at all yet, and they're still doing a little bit of monetary easing. They're still creating minimal inflation. They're adding to the fuel on the fire instead of putting their foot on the brake. Because if you put your foot on the brake, they know they may get a recession. There will be a recession, right? If you do the 7 quarter point hikes that they're talking about, that will push us most likely into recession. No one wants that. But if you don't cure inflation, right, you see what it's doing to middle class wages, right? You just made your wage rate. You made $100 this month. Well, sorry, you only made 93, right? And that's it. The inflation rate's going up. So you can expect more of that in the months to follow.
We're up against a break, Dr. Bratt, but clearly this is the result of policy that has driven a lot of this. And this is, elections have consequences. And I think American voters have an opportunity to see it on full display with what we're experiencing right now. Dave Bratt, always great to talk with you. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Tony. God bless. Thank you.
All right, coming up, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is calling for an end to Canada's peaceful freedom convoy of truckers. They're calling on the Canadian government to crack down on them. A little duplicity? We'll talk about it next. Don't go away.
Are you struggling to spend consistent time in God's Word? Then join Family Research Council on an exciting journey through the Bible. FRC's 2-year Bible reading plan helps you to approach daily Bible reading with an intentional focus of diving deeper into the nature of God and how His Word speaks into cultural issues. By studying the Bible, we can see the grandeur of God unfold throughout the past. The Stand on the Word reading plan takes you through daily scripture in an engaging manner to help you stay grounded in God's truth. All wisdom comes from God, and He has given us the Bible as a way to understand the world. Start this adventure today with Family Research Council. When you sign up, we'll text you every Sunday with daily passages and questions that help prepare you for conversations with your friends and family. To begin this journey, visit frc.org/Bible. With the current division and confusion of our culture, it is so important for Christians to root ourselves in the truth of God's word so that we are prepared to give a reason for the hope that we have. For this purpose, Family Research Council launched the Center for Biblical Worldview. The center applies the Bible and the historical teachings of the church to current issues. This helps Christians understand and live by a biblical worldview, know why Scripture must be authoritative, and equips believers to advance and defend the faith in workplaces, schools, communities, and the public square. The experts at the center address and provide resources on issues like religious liberty, abortion, voting, marriage, and sexuality. To access free resources like the Biblical Worldview series, go to frc.org/worldview. To get highlights of the latest work of the Worldview Fellows, including blogs, interviews, and publications, sign up at frc.org/subscriptions. At Family Research Council, it is important to us that we stay connected with you and that you stay informed. With the increase in tech censorship of conservatives and Christians, we've decided to be proactive to make sure we don't go completely dark due to censorship. That is why we've created a tech subscription platform. If we get canceled, you can stay informed and still find updates on faith, family, and freedom. How? Just text STAND to 67742 to sign up for our text alerts, and you will get FRC's content straight to your phone. Again, just text STAND to 67742, and you will get special alerts on the biggest stories of the day. You can stay informed with just a simple text. We want you to be able to stay connected with like-minded community and to always have access to our content. Stay connected and informed. Just text STAND to 67742.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins, your host. So good to have you with us on this Monday afternoon. The website, TonyPerkins.com. All right, the five-day-old blockade at the Ambassador Bridge, a crucial link between the U.S. and Canada, reopened late Sunday evening after the city of Windsor, which connects Detroit via the bridge, and the auto industry succeeded in obtaining a court order giving the police permission to remove the anti-mandate protesters peacefully assembled there. Now, on Friday, Jen Psaki said President Biden spoke with Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau.
The Prime Minister promised quick action in enforcing the law, and the President thanked him for the steps he and other Canadian authorities are taking to restore the open passage of bridges to the United States.
It was also urged on not only by President Biden, but the Chamber of Commerce and other American business groups. Canadian Prime Minister today invoked emergency powers to quell the protest. What are we to make of all this? Joining me now to talk about what we're seeing come out of the Truckageddon is Ken Blackwell, Senior Fellow for Human Rights and Constitutional Governance here at the Family Research Council, also former Secretary of State for Ohio and former Mayor of Cincinnati. Ken, welcome back to the program.
Hey, Tony, good to be with you.
All right, so let's talk about this. You've got the Chamber of Commerce calling for a crackdown on peaceful protesters in Canada who are protesting the overreach of government. But this is the same organization that has embraced Black Lives Matter, taking their graffiti that they did all over the walls in Washington, all over the buildings, and preserving it as artifacts. I mean, the duplicity of this group is amazing.
It's amazing, but it's also destructive. Look, they have embraced unscientific mandates. They have embraced the same clown car that actually waged war on American energy independence. They, in fact, are embracing the same cheerleaders for raging inflation and the deterioration of family incomes, and they are embracing a thematic theme, the thematic celebration of the Black Lives Matter Incorporated. And I'd like to move away from the slogan and talk about the organization that they have, in fact, partnered with. They have partnered with a group that's run by self-proclaimed Marxist statists, who in fact are the self-proclaimed enemies of our constitutional republic. We live in a rules-based society. Things work when, in fact, the rule of law is appreciated. They are now in league with those anarchists who have chosen division and chaos over the rule of law and freedom. It's a shame, Tony.
What baffles me, Ken Blackwell, is that, you know, and you and I go back a ways in terms of our service in government, and I used to get 100% rating with the business community because we embrace constitutional principles and the free market. And that's the future of business. If business wants to survive, they need to know what the rules are, and they also need to have the ability to operate freely. They're embracing a leftist agenda. I mean, look, the chamber has embraced the Freedom Crushing Equality Act. They endorsed three times more Democrats in the federal races in 2020. They've taken a position on every explosive issue on the other side of it, whether it's girls' sports, therefore transgenderism in boys being in girls' sports, the diversity quotas. I mean, they're supporting China and this whitewashing of their image. I mean, how will that survive in America if the leftist policies dominate in America?
Big corporations all too often are now drunk with wokeism. One of the things that you and I both know is that job growth and America's future actually turns on businesses that employ 500 people. That's within the definition of small or medium-sized business. These corporations are globalists in their nature, and they in fact turn a blind eye to the disintegration of the nation state that we in fact cherish as America. They in fact have been weak on shoring up our southern border. That is because they in fact embrace this nonsense of allowing, you know, low-wage workers to come across, no matter whether they embrace the rule of law and a path to citizenship. They, in fact, just saw them as a cheaper form of labor, eroding the working-class family's stability in our country. So, look, they need to get on the good foot, as James Brown would say, and, in fact, understand that for 246 years, we have become the most robust economy and constitutional republic in all of human history. One, because we believe in the nation. Two, we believe that God is the centrality of our government. And three, we cherish individual liberty. We cannot embrace this globalist, statist, wokist notion that's being embraced by the chamber in this case. You got to put them back on the good foot.
Well, to help them to get on that good foot is that, you know, instead of pulling into the Walmart store, you go down the street to the local IGA or the True Value Hardware and do your business with those small businesses that are actually more responsive to the community, and they don't embrace this leftist agenda, as you said, many of these globalist companies and corporations do. Ken, we're out of time. Always great to talk with you. Thanks so much for taking time to join us this afternoon.
Thank you, Tony. Let's go.
All right. And folks, I mean, look, we've got a responsibility to act. I mean, you look at all these advertisers. We're going to be talking about it next, about the Olympics. We're going to be joined by Ambassador Brown, former Ambassador for International Religious Freedom, Sam Brownback. But look, you look at some of these corporations that are advertising and pumping up the Olympics and helping whitewash China's image, and we shouldn't be doing business with them. In fact, there's a great app, Second Vote. We've talked about it before. Kind of gives you a rundown on where many of these corporations stand on the issues. But you need to vote with your dollars as well as your ballot. Don't go away. We're coming back with more after this.
What is religious liberty and why should you care about it? Simply put, religious liberty is the freedom to choose your religious beliefs and to live according to those beliefs. Why should we care about this freedom? At Family Research Council, we care about religious freedom because we believe that it is an inherent human right that all governments have an obligation to protect. Tragically, not all governments do. Religious persecution is a tragic reality around the world that is not often acknowledged by the media, even though attacks on people of all faiths continue to increase globally. In Scripture, God calls Christians to pray and care for the persecuted church, the downtrodden, and those who cannot help themselves. Therefore, we must be advocates for those persecuted for their faith. To access Family Research Council's latest resources and to learn more about religious freedom and what you can do to help the persecuted, go to frc.org/religious liberty.
Do you want to be able to stay up to date on conservative news? Are you looking for Christian resources to help you stay politically engaged? Then download Family Research Council's Stand Firm app. With all of our content available at your fingertips, you will conveniently be able to stay up to date throughout your busy day. The Stand Firm app will give you access to a variety of resources, such as our most recent episodes of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, tweets and other social media posts, and our latest blogs, updates, and publications. Additionally, you will have the opportunity to take action and make your voice heard by contacting your elected officials on the issues that most concern you. Visit the App Store on your smartphone or mobile device and search Stand Firm to download Family Research Council's official Stand Firm app.
Beijing 2022, human rights on ice.
Host, since the start of the 2022 Winter Olympics in Beijing, we have been devoting a segment each day to highlighting some of the atrocities being carried out by the Chinese Communist Party. As I was just talking about, in our previous segment about many of America's corporations. There are five American top-tier corporate sponsors of this year's Olympics: Visa, Airbnb, Procter & Gamble, Coca-Cola, and Intel, the Intel Corporation. None of the advertisers surrounding the Games have taken a stand against the Chinese Communist Party's inhumane treatment of religious minorities and others. They don't discriminate in who they abuse. They go after anyone and everyone who refuses to bow the knee to the Communist Party there in China. And now what they're doing is they are using their Belt and Road initiatives, which they're building. They're putting money in countries across the world to build this infrastructure for trade, but they're now sending these individuals out to basically help whitewash the image of China. I played this clip earlier, but I want to play this clip again. This is the Pakistan's Prime Minister, Imran Khan, on CNN. Play clip number six, please.
We're moving in this direction.
Because we had our ambassador, Abinul Haq, he went to Xinjiang, and he, according to his observations, the picture is not what was being portrayed on the Western media.
Now, that was yesterday on CNN. Now, what they didn't talk about, and this pertains to a lot of individuals who get on television, including a number of former American political figures. They don't talk about the money and the connections they have to Beijing, to China. Pakistan is getting a lot of money from China, and none of this is ever talked about in the media. The media doesn't say, well, do you have a vested interest in China? Are you involved with someone who's on the payroll of China? But they're using this opportunity to whitewash their image and to cover the atrocities that they are committing. against religious minorities. Joining me now to talk more about this, former Ambassador at Large for International Religious Freedom. He has served as a senator, Kansas governor, and at last, in the last administration, Ambassador at Large for International Religious Freedom. Ambassador Brownback, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony, great to join you. And thank you for bringing this topic up. This is just so important, and it's very timely, obviously, with the Olympics going on.
Well, I want to talk about that. We were just discussing the fact that China is using its money to, is leveraging its money in the Belt and Roads Initiative to get people to come out and vouch for them. And you've got corporate America, you know, five of the big corporate sponsors of the Olympics, Visa, Airbnb, Procter & Gamble, Coca-Cola, and Intel Corporation. None of them saying a word about the genocide that's taking place in China.
Yeah, isn't that disgusting? I watch that, and, you know, and they'll protest all the time things going on in the United States or the West. But if it's about China, they're silent. And, you know, Tony, too, I think the American public needs to know this. A lot of these Western companies are what's propping up communist China. You pull these Western companies out of China and disentangle our two economies, and China is a wreck economically. It's a lot of Western companies that are propping up this totalitarian, communist, atheistic regime that's exist in China.
And quite frankly, American consumers are helping. When we look at those products that are made in China, what we ought to do is, I do. Our family has, you know, since I've been sanctioned by China, and we've been tracking this for quite some time, you know, we pick it up. And like these mugs I have here, stand mug, it's hard to find a coffee mug not made in China. I'm proud to say this is made in the U.S. of A. And we buy everything we can made in America. We refuse to prop up any company that is propping up the abusive Chinese Communist Party.
Yeah, and that's what we ought to do. I mean, and that's the message we should be sending to all these companies and people that are propping up the Beijing government. You know, one of the things, Tony, I've been very pleased about with these Olympics is these Olympics have shined a light on all the abuses and the darkness of the Chinese Communist Party. I mean, things have become in full relief now, and they're seeing about the abuse of the Uyghurs and of what's taking place in the country and of the Christians and what's taking place to them. And that's what we need to do, is speak out as Americans. And I'm also pleased to see that this is now becoming a major political issue in the United States. What candidates running for the United States Senate are pro-China or anti-China? I mean, this needs to be a major issue in this political campaign season, and I'm starting to see it show up. I'm very encouraged about how much the United States public has pushed back against our relationship with communist China.
You're absolutely right. And I have to say, Ambassador, you were a large part of that by bringing attention to what was happening to the Uyghurs in China and helping build that public support for religious freedom internationally. Ambassador, out of time. Always great to see you, my friend.
Good to see you, Tony. God bless you all.
All right. Take care. Coming up, a Finnish member of parliament, Päivi Räsänen, had her second day in court today, and both sides rested their case. What came out during the court session, and why is her case so important to us? When we come back, we'll hear from Pastor Andrew Brunson, who is in Helsinki right now, who delivered prayer petitions to Päivi. Don't go away. We're back after this.
Do you want to be able to stay up to date on conservative news? Are you looking for Christian resources to help you stay politically engaged? Then download Family Research Council's Stand Firm app. With all of our content available at your fingertips, you will conveniently be able to stay up to date throughout your busy day. The Stand Firm app will give you access to a variety of resources, such as our most recent episodes of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, tweets and other social media posts, and our latest blogs, updates, and publications. Additionally, you will have the opportunity to take action and make your voice heard by contacting your elected officials on the issues that most concern you. Visit the App Store on your smartphone or mobile device and search Stand Firm to download Family Research Council's official Stand Firm app.
What is religious liberty and why should you care about it? Simply put, religious liberty is the freedom to choose your religious beliefs and to live according to those beliefs. Why should we care about this freedom? At Family Research Council, we care about religious freedom because we believe that it is an inherent human right that all governments have an obligation to protect. Tragically, not all governments do. Religious persecution is a tragic reality around the world that is not often acknowledged by the media, even though attacks on people of all faiths continue to increase globally. In Scripture, God calls Christians to pray and care for the persecuted church, the downtrodden, and those who cannot help themselves. Therefore, we must be advocates for those persecuted for their faith. To access Family Research Council's latest resources and to learn more about religious freedom and what you can do to help the persecuted, go to frc.org/religious liberty.
Attention university students. Are you looking for an internship that will help you grow as a Christian leader and allow you to positively influence the culture? Then Family Research Council's internship program is for you. FRC's life-changing 12 to 15-week internship program will prepare and equip you for the next step in your professional journey. You'll enjoy a speaker series focusing on careers and callings, lectures from prominent conservative leaders, and weekly biblical worldview training. All of these offerings were created to aid you in your personal and professional development. As an intern, you will have the opportunity to work side by side with our experts in policy, communications, event planning, and more. The real-world experience you gain will prepare you to pursue a career of influence and make a difference wherever God calls you. This paid internship offers fully funded housing in the heart of downtown DC, giving you the chance to experience our nation's capital. Visit frc.org/internships to apply.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. So good to have you with us on this Valentine's Day. Well, earlier today, closing arguments were made in the case of Finnish Member of Parliament Päivi Räsänen, who was on trial in Helsinki for publicly expressing her Bible-based beliefs on marriage and sexual ethics. Now, ahead of Päivi's second day on trial, FRC spearheaded a prayer pledge, and many of you participated in it, and I want to say thank you. But today, those prayer pledges were personally delivered to her in Helsinki by Pastor Andrew Brunson. He is FRC's special advisor on religious freedom. Now, you may recall, you've heard him on the program many times, but Pastor Brunson was falsely accused and imprisoned in Turkey for over 2 years. Now, during his imprisonment, which was about 3 years ago, FRC collected prayer pledges for him from tens of thousands of Americans, and we delivered them to him in Turkey. So he understands the power and the encouragement of prayer. Pastor Brunson joins me now from Helsinki to talk about today's developments. Andrew, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hi, Tony. Good to be with you. Noreen and I were at Päivi's trial today. Just a couple of hours ago, they finished up. And this is called the Bible trial here in Finland by secular media. So it's the Bible trial. And we met Päivi at the door of the courtroom right before she went in for the trial session. And we gave her the printout from Family Research Council that you just mentioned that listed the names of over 14,000 people who had pledged to pray for her. And I think she seemed genuinely encouraged that so many American Christians are praying for her. And she sends her thanks to FRC and to those who signed the prayer pledge.
Now, Andrew, you know a little bit about that and the power that just the understanding of knowing you're not alone. I mean, we know that, but when we actually see the fact that we have brothers and sisters all the way across, you know, the world praying for us, it really does send a message of encouragement, doesn't it?
It does. And we were able to meet with Päivi and her husband yesterday for an hour and pray with her. And my impression, just very confident. She's at peace, just radiant. I asked her if she was afraid, because I had been afraid during my trial a number of times, and she said no. Now, I think at this point, The prosecution is not asking for a prison sentence, but rather wants to impose some financial penalties. But what comes to my mind is that she could escape this pressure that she's been under for the last 2 years by apologizing for her beliefs, by groveling, by compromising. But she's standing strong. And I know this is something you often emphasize, Tony, just standing strong. So she's giving a good example for others who are going to face similar decisions in the future. And I really want to honor her. Actually, there are some positive things that are happening because of this case.
And you know that as well, as we talked about your time in Turkey, how it really stirred people, believers around the world to pray. So it really is a Romans 8:28, you know, what the enemy meant for evil, God uses for good in many ways. And I think this is drawing awareness to the hostility that is in the culture toward biblical truth. And just reading out kind of a summary of today's events in court, one of the, essentially the prosecution saying that the Bible cannot overrule Finnish law, that somehow the Bible has to be in the truth that it speaks to is subservient to Finnish law. I mean, this is where we've come in Western civilization.
And one other thing that they said that the prosecutor was indicating is that you're not allowed to make moral evaluations because this demeans human dignity. So I think there's some surprise. Paivi told us that she was surprised herself that this was taken to court, that she was prosecuted. But what I see is a couple of thoughts. One is that there's a spirit of confusion. As people reject God, they end up with clouded reason. And another is that the courts and the judicial system respond to changes in the culture. So Finland is a few steps ahead of the U.S. in this area. They have the so-called equality law, which is similar to what some are trying to pass in the States. And this is an example of what the result of that will be. And this is a preview of what we could face in the United States in the future. We have strong legal protections, but judges are human. And our elite law schools increasingly are hostile to faithful followers of Jesus. And this is the environment where future judges are being trained.
This is what happens when you untether justice from truth. And it is up to whoever has the loudest voice in whatever positive law may be passed by a legislative body. Pastor Brunson, I want you to address this question with what you see unfolding there. And you had an opportunity to pray with Pavi yesterday and then be there as she went into the courtroom today. Many pastors here in the United States, and I thank God for all of the pastors who will preach the whole counsel of God and not hold back from speaking the truth when it is time to speak. Now, I don't think we should be hammering this every week, every time, but it is a part of Scripture that when you talk about the issue of morals, the Bible speaks to the morality of a society, and so the pastor should preach to that. But some would say, I don't want to talk about those political issues. I just want to preach the gospel. But what we see there in Finland is just preaching the word of God is now what is on trial. So to think that you can step back from these quote-unquote hot-button issues and somehow preach the rest of the gospel should be a notion that's put aside because that's no longer the case.
Yeah, here's how a Christian media member summarized the case. You can quote the Bible, but not in a way that indicates that you believe or agree with what you're quoting. So this can be the result, yes.
I mean, what's the point if we can quote the Bible, but we can't believe it and we can't live by it? Then the Scripture has been deemed meaningless. It's just another piece of literature. It's just another piece of written work to sit on the shelf. And that is not the intent of the Word of God, nor is it why He has entrusted us with His living Word.
You know, there's one thing I told Paivi, Tony, is that we really want to honor her and that we're proud of how she's representing Jesus Christ. And she's doing it so well. And I told her also that her courage is contagious. And I think many other people are going to take her example. she's giving a very good example for those who will face difficult decisions like this in the future. Am I going to fear man or am I going to fear God? And I just see in Hungary yesterday, thousands of people, I think there were something like 3,000, came together in front of the Finnish embassy to protest this. So her courage is contagious.
Courage breeds courage. One final question for you, Pastor Brunson. What is the next step? How long before the court might make a decision in her case?
I'm not sure. I think that they kind of leave that open and then they suddenly announce it. So what I was told is that sometime in the next few weeks, maybe a month or two, they will give a decision. And now Paivi, I think she expects to win. But the reality is that this is going to have a freezing effect on believers here. And this is something that a Finnish leader used this word freezing. They know what they have a lot of snow and ice here. We have some right now outside. And he said this will have a freezing effect on believers because Päivi is a well-known public figure in Finland. And she has been prosecuted now in criminal court for publicly stating what hundreds of millions of Christians around the world believe.
Yeah, absolutely. One final point for you. How should we be praying for her right now?
Well, it would be very good to see her vindicated because this is going to intimidate people. But it would if she does not win this case, then it is going to lead to more restrictions.
Yeah, absolutely. Dr. Andrew Brunson, I want to thank you personally for going over there on my behalf and the behalf of FRC to deliver these petitions to her. You and Noreen, thank you so much for being there with her and praying with her.
It was a real privilege. Thank you, Tony.
All right. Andrew Brunson, who knows a little bit about the need for encouragement. And there's no better way to encourage people than to pray for them, intercede for them. So continue to pray for Päivi. And that, as Dr. Brunson said, that she would be vindicated. All right. In the days leading up to this second trial, the second day of trial for Päivi, FRC wasn't the only group standing behind this Finnish member of parliament. Members of Congress here in the United States saw what was coming. They knew what this meant. And so they stood with Päivi as well, writing a letter to offer her support, encouragement, and prayers, noting that the challenge she's been facing is not merely legal, but spiritual. Joining me now is the one who spearheaded this effort, our good friend Chip Roy, congressman from the state of Texas and a member of the House Freedom Caucus. Chip, welcome back to the program.
Great to be with you, Tony, as always.
All right. You see the handwriting on the wall with what's happening in Finland, and you've spoken out about this. Has this captured the attention of your colleagues?
Well, I can say that it has definitely captured my attention and a handful of my colleagues. I'm not sure everybody in this country, including elected office holders, whether they're in Congress or any other body across the country, quite understand what's at stake with what we're seeing happening in Finland. Obviously, this is terrible for MP Räsänen, for Bishop. You know, the extent to which what we're seeing unfold right now is a chilling impact on not just free speech, but our faith cannot be overstated. When you think about today that the prosecutor is saying that the Bible has got to take a backseat to Finnish law, right? Think about the implications of that, right? You know, that somehow that the Bible and the freedom of religion, in the words of the prosecutor, stops at the door of discrimination. Well, the natural extension of that is that if you believe the Bible and you believe that it is the inerrant word of God, that you then are, anytime you're quoting it, as your previous guest and you were just talking about, you are all automatically discriminating, right? You're automatically discriminating against people of other faiths. And so that's the road that we're headed down. And it's not that far away in this country. Like, think about all of the surveillance going on, thinking about the intrusions on our liberties. And when you talk about this, Finnish law, I mean, then we're going to be having the same conversation about American law. Now, what my colleagues and I wanted to do was offer our prayerful support and encouragement of what they're going through in Finland. But I want to also highlight how this is such a problem for the people in our country and around the world who are facing persecution on a daily basis as well.
Well, and if you step back for just a moment, this assertion by the prosecution there that the Bible cannot in any way undermine Finnish law, it turns Western civilization on its head, because Western civilization is a product of the moral law of God, and the specific revelation and as a common law comes from an understanding of the Judeo-Christian worldview. So we're actually now reversing it, saying somehow we got here on our own, and what got us here we no longer want. The problem is that brings about moral anarchy. And as I was talking with Dr. Brunson earlier, when you have justice untethered from truth, you lose both. And that's what we see happening here. He mentioned they have an equality law. Same thing that Nancy Pelosi has made one of their top priorities. It's passed the House, fortunately right now, bottled up in the Senate. But the Equality Act would bring the same thing here to the United States.
Yeah, and then think about how much major corporations are pushing that. I looked at a list last week where 500 major corporations that are all backing and supporting the Equality Act because of all of the pressure coming up through our institutional investors. What the American people need to understand is just because we're not being prosecuted in court yet in the United States, we're still being prosecuted. We're being prosecuted by major corporations and by all of the powers that be in government, universities, that our speech is being chilled right now. And we are only one or two steps behind what we're seeing happening in Finland. And so, you know, if you're talking about, you know, Bishop Ojala, for example, simply cited the, I think, pamphlet that MP Räsänen put out.
Right.
I mean, think about that, right?
Well, Chip, that would be equivalent to a church putting out one of the publications that the Family Research Council does on transgenderism, which is, by the way, footnoted and documented based in science. But yet that, because it is would be in violation of the Equality Act, now makes using that a criminal offense.
Well, I can promise you, I could probably be arrested for probably half the tweets I put out in the last week if you're going to go down the road that they want to go down. But understand, Americans, when you're listening to this and people around the world, MP Räsänen, one of the charges against her is the charge of a tweet literally quoting a Bible verse, Romans, in response to the position of the state church in Finland, sort of saddling it up with the LGBTQ, you know, effort. And literally just by promoting a Bible verse on Twitter, that is a charge against her. That's what we're facing. It is chilling. The American people should be horrified. But more importantly, members of the Christian community around the world should be joining in solidarity, in prayerful solidarity, standing behind not just those two, but all who are facing persecution around the world. We know as Christians that we will be persecuted. That is just something we understand and know. But how we respond to it. And by the way, the prosecutors tried to get them to recant their faith, to pull back their words in order to not face prosecution. And God bless them for saying no.
You're absolutely right. Chip, we got to leave it there. We're out of time. Folks, thanks so much for joining us. As always, continue to stand for truth.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is brought to you by Family Research Council and is entirely listener supported. Portions of the show discussing candidates are brought to you by Family Research Council Action. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.